You know, it's not like one of those fears that just paralyze you kind of thing, but it's the one thing I've kind of worked on throughout my life. Anybody ever been to a ropes course? Does anybody know what a ropes course is? Basically, it's, you know, you have tall poles, ropes between them, and you like go from one pole to the next, which attached to that rope or something. Anyway, I don't know how to explain it. But Jerry took us to one, and I'm going to tell the story, Jerry. Now I'm going to embarrass myself. But anyway, Jerry took us to one in Solemn Springs. How long? That's been a while back. We won't talk about that. Anyway, yeah, that's when I first got out of Bible school. Anyway, they had this one. It's called the Leap of Faith. The Leap of Faith. And what it is this telephone pole. Climb up to the top of the telephone pole. There's a trapeze bar out there. What is it, about maybe 5-10 feet, something like that? 6-7 feet. Somewhere in there, and you jump off the top of the pole and grab onto the trapeze bar. Of course, you know, you got ropes and everything, so you're not going to, like, kill yourself. So that's good, but this is one of the times I had to work on my fear of heights. And they lovingly put it on top of a hill as well, and so it looked even taller than what it actually was. And so you climb up. The hardest part was actually standing on top of the pole. There's no platform or anything. I mean, you're standing on the top of the pole. And so you climb up there and you get on top of it, and you just see this trapeze bar out there, and you look down. You're like, oh, buddy, just jump. And that's all I'm going to tell about that story. No. All right, I'll finish it. I tried it, grabbed the trapeze bar, I was like, oh, yeah, and it slipped. Hands a little sweaty, you know, a little nervous. It's my excuse. Big Jer climbs up the pole, no problem, jumps out there and just like, latches onto that thing. I said, I can't. I gotta do it again. Can't let Jerry beat me. Climb up to the top of the pole, no problem. Jump out there. Fall off again. And so I give up. And so, Jerry got me on that one. We need to go back. Well, I wasn't gonna bring Kevin into this, but he did it, not me. Anyway, the fear of heights. I actually saw a YouTube video the other day that really freaked me out. And, you know, you think, you know, video, no big deal. But this is one that kind of got my heights. Go ahead and put up that picture. It's this guy. The video is called Stairway to Heaven. All right? And it's basically about these guys who climb those big guided tower things out there. You know, the TV towers and radio towers and stuff like that. Well, it's this guy's job to climb up there and change that light on top of it. Okay? Now, I didn't, you know, think these people really, you know, actually climbed it. And, but this kind of gives a comparison of what it is, you know, the different tower, you know, Empire State Building that used to be the tallest building at 1,453 feet, Sears Tower. And this is this tower that he climbed on the right, 1,768 feet tall, to the top where that light is. That's how far this guy had to go up. And, you know, I've been on top of the Empire State Building. Up to the 86th floor, 1,050 feet. You know, you're completely enclosed, no problem. It still freaked me out. You know, I walked up there and I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, how high am I up here? You know, and, you know, of course I got brave and, you know, was climbing the fence and stuff and they kicked me out. But, no. Anyway, I was up on that and, you know, that kind of weirded me out. All right, but this video is these guys that actually climb up there and work on these towers. And I'm going to show you a clip of it here in just a second. But basically, go ahead and start that clip. But what they do is they take an elevator up to 1,600 feet. And then they have to actually get out on to the tower and start climbing. And yeah. I mean, this video messed with me really bad. You know, palms start sweating, you know, feet getting a little moist and heart racing, and I'm about to fall over just thinking about it. I mean, it was just like, are you serious? And you saw that line he kind of hooked up there? That's the only line that he has to keep him on that pole. And here he is at the top of the tower and just standing on top of it, the very top of this tower. And here in a second, you'll see him completely let go of the tower to hook onto it. And I about messed myself when he did that. I didn't notice it the first time, but I went back and watched it. Right there. He's not holding on to anything right now. Man. And then, of course, watch this other dude. First thing he does is like, you know, that would be me. Well, no, it wouldn't be me because I wouldn't get up there. But first thing he does, he hooks onto that thing and he's like, okay, now I can work. But they go up there and work on top of this tower. And I'm with you, Christy, on this. I mean, it was just like, I was watching the video like shaking. You know, we were sitting down at the cinnamon stick watching this thing, and I was just like, oh man, I can't handle it. But anyway, we all have fear in our lives. And you know, a lot of the fear that we have in our lives holds us back from the life that God wants from us. Now, I don't think the fear of heights is ever going to hold me back unless God tells me to do that. Then I'll be like, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disobey this one time, okay? You know, I'm sorry. But you know, we all have fear in our lives, and lots of times it holds us back from the life that God has for us. Because God has something amazing for all of us to do. Stuff that would blow your mind if God showed you, you know, where you're going to be at in 10 years, you know, if you completely obeyed Him. It would mess you up. It'd freak you out. I can't do that. But see, God has this amazing life set out before us, amazing life to go out and to reach our community for Jesus, to, you know, just to show the love of God. And I mean, you might be shocked what the actual life that God has planned for you. But mostly it's fear that holds us back from that life. And I think God's saying to us today, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Those guys out there have a lot of trust in a rope. Well, that guy didn't even have a rope most of the time. I mean, he's just climbing. God is saying, do you trust me? See, I think there's two ways to live the Christian life. The first one I call the safe life. The safe life. This is usually, after you kind of spiritually mature a little bit, you know, you kind of get financially stable and emotionally stable. And, I mean, I've come to this point in my life at one time, and God's trying to get me out of it. But we come to a place in our lives to where, you know, we don't have to really, you know, worry about finances much. You know, we're in good, stable relationships, and, you know, everything's going good, and we want to stay right there, thinking I finally arrived at a place where I'm comfortable. And I just want to stay right here. I finally made it. And I don't have to, you know, trust God every month to get my bills paid. I don't have to, you know, trust God to find me a, you know, the right spouse for me, to, you know, the two main areas that God really spoke to me about in this was, financial stability and emotional stability. Usually once we get those two things, we go into safe mode to where we think, you know, I don't have to trust God anymore for the everyday stuff. I can handle it. And see, I don't think God ever wants us to get to a place to where we think we can handle life on our own. Because God said that we can't do anything without Him. You know, we say, you know, I'm going to go to this city for, you know, so long, I'm going to work and I'm going to make money. But God says, you're not promised that. You're not promised that. That's not up to you. We should never come to a place to where we don't feel like we have to trust God anymore. And so I'm going to talk on kind of on two different levels today. People who are spiritually mature and people who are new Christian-ish, you know, kind of newer to it, that, you know, you might not feel like you're stable in God yet. And see, because, you know, when I first started off, when I first, you know, moved to college and got out of my parents' house and I was on my own, I'm thinking, you know, freedom, you know, I can do what I want. But then the bills came with it as well. Freedom wasn't so much freedom anymore. But, you know, let me tell you, I was a praying dude. I mean, I was praying, God, I got this bill coming up. I need some help, you know. And you know, I talked to God a lot, let me tell you. I needed God a lot in those days, you know, going to school and paying the rent and paying for school and, you know, just paying for everything. And I prayed a lot, let me tell you. I trust in God. I believe God. I mean, I was like, God, if you don't come through, I mean, it's all over. You know, I'm done for. You know, we're not going to make it. And it seems like in the beginning, I mean, everything, complete trust is on God. Complete focus is on God. God, if you don't come through, it's not going to happen. And God, I need you. And we have this deep dependence on God because of our circumstances. But it seems like lots of times we come to a point to where, you know, we don't feel like we have to do that anymore. You know, I got a good job. When we moved back to Batesville and I got a good job, Miranda got a good job, we're making good money, and I didn't have to pray every month, God, I'm trusting in you to pay my bills. You know, we got to where, you know, we had enough money to pay our bills and had a little bit left over and, you know, kind of was able to do what we wanted to do, and I didn't feel like I had to trust in God anymore. And a lot of us are in that area right now. You know, we're in a good, stable relationship. We have a good, stable job. And we just go into safe mode. Thinking, okay, this is what it's about now. I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to, you know, and it's all good. That's the safe life. The other one is the trust life. Because no matter where we're at in our relationship with God, we should fully trust God for every part of our life. Because let me tell you, at any moment, you could lose your job. At any moment, you can lose a loved one. I mean, life is unpredictable in what goes on. I mean, you know, God gives us promises that we can stand on and we can believe in God. You know, I believe that completely. I do that every day. But you know, life happens still. Stuff happens that you don't expect. What are you going to trust in? Are you going to trust in your safe life? Are you going to trust in your job? Are you going to trust in your family? Are you going to trust in your spouse to always support you? Are you going to trust in God? See, no matter where we're at in our journey with God, no matter what, if we just starting out and, I mean, everything's completely dependent on God, or if we've reached that point of financial stability, emotional stability, to where that, you know, we can handle a lot of it on our own, we should always be trusting in God to do the impossible in our lives. And that scares the mess out of me. You know, to when we say, God, I want you to do the impossible in my life. I want you to bring me into something to where I can't do it on my own, but I have to depend on you for this to happen. It makes you uncomfortable. It makes you uneasy. Puts a little, you know, butterflies in your stomach. It's good to get butterflies every once in a while. You know what? Kind of keeps the edge going. So we have the safe life. We have the trust life. See, the trust life, it feels more risky. When was the last time you took a chance on something that God asked you to do? When was the last time that you heard God tell you to do something? And it scared the mess out of you, but you still did it anyway. This is what the trust life is. We never need to come to a point to where we can say, I can handle life on my own. I don't have to trust God anymore. I'm going to challenge you at the end of the service to pray a prayer. One that I prayed a few weeks ago, and I'm nervous about it. I mean, I'm literally nervous about what God is bringing in my life. It's a good nervous, though. It's not a bad nervous. It's a good nervous. Because no matter what God brings into our lives, He's given us everything that we need to handle it. He's never going to bring us to a place that we cannot handle life as long as we're trusting in Him. See, now I'm not talking about, you know, God bringing sickness into our life or death or destruction, because God doesn't do that. John 10:10 tells us that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy our lives, but Christ came that we might have life, have it to the abundance. See, God wants to bring that abundance into our lives. But He can't do that if we're not trusting Him. If we don't put our trust in Him, He can't do that. See, if we come to the place where we think we can do life on our own, God, I can handle this part of your life. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Just this area over here. You know, I'm still trusting you in this. No. That's not what it's about. God says, I want you to trust me in everything. In everything. We have to make a conscious decision to trust God with every part of our lives. That's the trust life. Because one day, you know, we might not have the job security that we have. See, you know, a few months back when Ella was born, Miranda quit her job. Cut our income in half. On paper, we can't pay our bills with the money that I make. We did the math 500 times. You know, of course, I'm one of these real calculated people. I like to plan things out. I like to, you know, have the plan and you know, work the plan, and the plan works, and, you know, and that whole bit. And I mean, no matter how I tried to do our budget, it didn't work out. But you know what? I haven't missed a bill yet. It's trusting God. I mean, it doesn't make any sense how that works. I don't know how it works. All I know that God makes it work. Now, I'm not saying go out here and quit your job, be a bum, expect God to pay your bills. That's not what I'm talking about. It's being obedient to God. It's putting your trust in God, doing the life that God wants you to do, living out the life that God has placed before you. And that requires obedience, listening to the Holy Spirit. As long as we're listening to the Holy Spirit, doing what He wants us to do, He's always going to take care of us. He's always going to bring us to the place that scares the mess out of us. This is not a message you normally hear, is it? God scares the mess out of us. Should I be saying mess? Is that okay? Just thought about that. Anyway, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This is like the ultimate trust scripture. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. I don't have an NIV Bible, so I have to print it out when I do NIV. Second scripture I'll read out of my Bible, though. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 5. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Do you see the life that God has for you in this scripture? He said He wants health for your body, strength for your bones. He wants your barns overflowing. He wants your vats overflowing. That's the end result of what God wants in everybody's life. However that might play out, that doesn't always mean your bank account is going to be overflowing. You know, that's not what the scripture is saying. This is, no matter what you're doing, God's going to bless it. When you're trusting in Him, when you're obeying Him, when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, things are going to be overflowing in your life. That abundant life is going to be there. But what was the prerequisite for that? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. See, I think one of the biggest problems that we have is, you know, we have our plan of what we want to do in our life. And that's not always the plan that God has for us. Let me tell you, I came up with a good plan when I graduated high school. I had a great plan for my life. I was going to make lots of money. I was going to open my own business. I didn't know what I was going to sell. It really didn't matter. I mean, you know, when you're in business, you can sell anything, and, you know, if you're good at it, you're going to make money. And I mean, that was my plan. I mean, I was going to have the big house, the boats, the four-wheelers, you know, the whole bit. I mean, I had it all planned out. God had a different plan for me. He had a different plan for me. And I had to listen to the Holy Spirit in my life and be obedient. That's what trust is. Listen and be obedient. James said it like this. He said, faith without works is dead. We say we believe in God. We say we believe that we want to do what God wants us to do. But if you're not doing it, then your words are empty. Your words are useless. You got to put action to it. You have to have that obedience to it. You know, lots of times you'll turn on the TV and, you know, hear this great gospel about, you know, God wants to bless you, what Jesus did for us, it's a free gift. That's great. You know, we have that eternal life when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have that eternal life and you know, according to a lot of people's gospel, everything's going to be wonderful after that. It's going to be grand. I mean, life's going to be perfect. You're going to make lots of money, have lots of friends. You're going to be famous, you know, the whole bit. But they never want to talk about the obedience part. Because the faith life doesn't work without obedience. It doesn't work. No matter how you try to do it, it doesn't work without obedience. I mean, you can't play God. I mean, you can't fool God. You can't manipulate God's will. Either you're obedient or you're not. When you're obedient, God blesses you. When you're disobedient, you allow the curse to come into your life. Simple as that. I mean, it sounds simple. It's not, but I mean, that's what it comes down to. Are you being obedient or are you not? Do you really trust God and the life that He has for you? Or are you doing your own thing, thinking you can make it on your own? That's what it comes down to. So what causes us not to trust? Hope those weren't important. What causes us not to trust God? In the Scripture, it's our own understanding. It's our own way. It's what we've been taught all of our lives. It says, don't lean on what you know, but trust in God. Unless that's all you know is trusting in God, then, you know, go with that. But, you know, the trust in God part. See, lots of times we like I'm a logical person. You know, I like processes. I'm very methodical in my life. And, you know, I like to think things out. And it's one of the bad things about, one of the negatives in my life that God will tell me something to do and I try to logic it out. You know, make sure, you know, hey, okay, God wants me to do this. Okay, how's this going to affect this part of my life? And how's it going to do that? You know, okay, I'm going to have to cut back in this area. And, you know, and I go through all this process and a week later I obey Him. The thing is, I know I'm going to obey Him, but I still have to go through the process. You know, lean not on your own understanding. It might not make sense to you what God wants you to do. It might scare the living daylights out of you what God wants you to do. Do you trust God? Do you truly and honestly trust God with your life? But see, lots of times our understanding brings fear. Fear enters through our thoughts. Well, what about this? What if this happens? You know, what if I lose my job if I do this? And we have the what ifs. And fear enters through our thoughts. You know, the fear of failure is usually the first thing that jumps up at me. The fear of failure, the fear of being inadequate. The fear of looking like a loser. Maybe the fear of just being uncomfortable. You know, we brought ourselves to this comfortable place in our lives to where everything's going great. If I do that, God, I'm not going to be comfortable anymore. It gets me out of my comfort zone. Maybe I might have to get a second job if I do that. Do you trust God? Do you honestly and truly trust God? See, God wants to take us to the next level in our trust with Him. No matter where you're at in your relationship with God, no matter where you're at in your journey, God always wants to take you to the next level. Always to the next level. God's all about increase. He wants us to increase our trust in Him. No matter what, if we're new Christians, you know, it seems like, you know, you get someone who just accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They're excited about what God's doing. They seem to grow really fast. I mean, it's just like, bam, 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 I'm trusting God for this. Bam, it happens. And you see things happening in their lives are changing, everything's getting great. Then they come to a certain point to where all of a sudden, I'm comfortable. I've changed. Look at how much I've changed in my life. Look where God has brought me so far. And we want to stop there. We want to plateau right there. And you feel like you've kind of arrived at a good place. And you stay right there for the rest of your life. See, God wants to take you to the next level. He wants you to keep going. Keep trusting, because we never completely trust God with everything. I mean, there's always some area in our lives that we don't completely trust God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. See, this is what God wants for our life right here. Actually, I'm going to read part of this NIV. But this is a prayer that Paul prayed for this church. And it's a prayer that I encourage you to pray for yourself. Because it'll stretch you. It'll make you uncomfortable. It'll help you to grow in your relationship with God. I'm actually going to change it just a little bit and making it personal to me. It's a way you can pray to make it personal for you. Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this reason I bow before my Father in heaven. I pray that out of your glorious riches that you may strengthen me with power through your Spirit in my inner being, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. And I pray that I, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep the love of Christ is. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that I may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Wow. Could you imagine that? That last one. "That I may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God." You know how much that is? I don't. It's pretty huge. All of the fullness of God. Talk about stretching you. I love verse 20. This is the part I want to get to. "Now to Him, to God, to you, God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within me, to you be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." See, God wants to do the exceedingly abundant in your life. How many of us are truly experiencing the exceedingly abundant in our lives? And see, that's not something that we ask for. He said, "I want to do exceedingly abundantly more than whatever you could ask or even think about doing in your own life." That's why I say God has a huge plan for you. He has huge things for you that will mess with your mind if God showed us the end result of what He wanted us to do. It would blow us away, because He wants to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what we could ever ask or think in our own lives. But we have to trust Him. It comes down to, do you trust God with your life? My challenge for you today: ask God to bring something into your life where you have to trust God for it to happen, because it's impossible for you to do. I prayed this prayer a few weeks ago, and like I said, it makes me nervous. Because God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above what I ask or think. And I ask pretty big. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above that. Ask God to bring something into your life to where you have to trust Him. Whether it might be a business. It might be, you know, God wants you to give you a... wants you to give a huge amount of money away or something. Give your house away or whatever it is. Now, like I said, I'm not talking about, you know, God's not going to bring sickness or death into your life, nothing like that. Some of y'all are scared, if I ask that, God might, you know, break my leg, kill my wife. You know, no, God's not in that business. When you ask God to do something big in your life, bring me to a place to where I have to trust you because I can't do it. See, I think no matter what level we're in our relationship with God, whether we're just starting out or if we've been there all of our lives, I think we should always be trusting in God for something, to do the impossible in our lives through us. I remember back when we started Celebrate Recovery, and you know, Jason, you know, was supposed to be the point man in that. I mean, he was the man. He was scared to death. He's not here today, so I can talk to him. Is he going to be in second service? Maybe. Okay. If he doesn't kill a deer, he'll be in second service. Oh, okay. But he was scared to death. I mean, it brought flashbacks to when I first started in youth ministry. I mean, I had no clue what I was doing. I mean, I was dumb as a rock, you know. I'm still pretty, you know, I still don't got it figured out by any means, but, you know, when we started that, I mean, it was like every day Jason was up here, what do I do about this? I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on. And he had to trust in God for this thing to work. We've been doing it, what, for 3 years now? Two years now. You'd think he'd been doing it all of his life. I mean, he's out there, you know, just blowing and going, taking care of business. And I mean, he gets phone calls all hours of the night, you know, people saying, you know, oh, I need help in this. You know, I'm struggling. I need you to pray for me. And I mean, he just takes it and runs with it. And I mean, just blows me away what he's been doing. 2 years he's been doing this. When he started out, he didn't think he was going to make it. It was that trust in God. And you know what? He's still trusting in God. Just talk to him sometime for 5 minutes. You'll see how much he's trusting in God for Celebrate Recovery to be a success. I mean, they're having 60, 70, 80 people show up every week to Celebrate Recovery. But he's still trusting. He's saying, I can't handle this, God. I said, I got to have you. So that's where we need to be. And every single one of us need to be in that place in our lives. In some area. God, I can't do this. I need you. Like when I first went to college, I was like, God, I can't pay my bills. I need you. Got to make my school payment. $285. Got to have it. I'll never forget $285. That was my payment for my Bible school every month. $285. God, it's all you. Do we trust God? Is there an area in your life to where you have to have God there for it to work? If not, pray this prayer. Say, God, bring something into my life to where I have to trust you, because it's too impossible for me to do. Challenge. How many of you like challenges? Usually men like the challenges. But you can't eat that burger in one bite. Guys love it. So that's my challenge for you today. Pray that prayer. Because some of us have been living the safe life for way too long. To where we don't have to have God. We don't have to trust God for our everyday stuff. Pray it. I dare you. Do it. Do it now. But I believe that God will step up. He'll bring you something in your life that'll blow your mind, that'll blow you away. And when you accomplish it, you'll be like, that was all God. I had nothing to do with that. That had to have been God in my life. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. God, you're our rock. You're our strong tower. You're our salvation. God, that no matter what's going on in our life, we can trust in you. And you'll never fail us. You'll never leave us. God, that you'll help us every step of the way. You'll direct our paths. God, I just pray that God, you just bring something into our lives, God, to where we have to trust you, God. Help us to take the next step, go to the next level of trusting you. God, stretch us. Help us to grow. God, help us to become more like you. Father, I just thank you as we pray this prayer this week. God, we know that you're going to hear us, God, and we know that you've already got stuff set in motion, God, to bring that exceeding abundant into our lives. God, and we know it's not going to be comfortable. We know it's not going to be easy. It's going to be risky. It's going to be scary. There's going to be fear. God, but as we put our trust in you, we won't have to worry because you've got us in your hand. Father, we just thank you and we love you so much. Prayer team, if you go ahead and come up.